8:31 at the WMJ Studios. Mercer County girls basketball coach Kate Engwall is in studio with us on this Saturday morning. And we were kind of segue a little bit and get off track. But we were talking off the air. One area where you noticed a definite improvement. You said 100 more assists this year compared to a year ago.
Yeah.
That means you're finding the open player, which is a good sign. Like, court awareness is a big thing.
Yeah, court awareness and an open shot versus a good shot, you know. We had over 100 more assists this year as a team. Last year, 43% of our field goals were assisted. This year, we're at 55%. And I still think that could be higher, but a tremendous improvement. And I thought that was noticeable with the team all year long, is that we were a lot more unselfish on offense. We were developing better court awareness, better court vision. And I would credit, you know, that was something we harped on a lot in practice, but I would specifically give credit there to Ty and Dennis, because at any given practice, at any given game, you can hear them on the bench yelling, one more pass. And, I think that was something also as the year went on that the girls got really excited about doing.
And, you know, I know next year we'll see it, how teams will double down now, and you can kind of see that this year with Danny Higgins, you know, and when you are – when you're a low post player and they double down on you, that means, well, you gotta be strong with the ball and you gotta find the open player.
Mm-hmm. And I thought,
I thought at times this year she did a good job of recognizing that. Sometimes she didn't, because you know, you're dealing with Hack-a-Shack a lot of the times too, and you're still just a sophomore playing against some older kids.
Right. And yeah, specifically Danny, I thought she did a good job as the season progressed. There's a couple instances that I'm seeing in my mind right now as we're having this conversation where she had some excellent kickouts, you know, across the court sometimes for a wide open three. And with that, yeah, I think we saw this year that teams are going to start doubling down on her, more so next year even than they did this year. So we're already talking about things that we can do as a program, as an offense, to kind of get her moving a little more. I think people maybe underestimate her mid-range game and her ball handling abilities, to include Danny. But I think that if we can get her out of the paint moving a little bit more next year, that would be a relief.
And I know, we probably did about 10 to 15 games this year, and I always felt when she got the ball at the high post and shot it, I always felt confident that shot was going in. She made more of them than she missed. Can you and this brings up a perfect story, because, you know, I was fortunate when Danny was younger, played youth basketball with my daughter's group, played up here, and I met her through Matt Ewing, of course, who does a great job with the junior high program. And her, I don't know, I just really like her kind of personality, where it's like, because her personality is, she's just so quiet, but it's like, I like that because her game does the talking. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, her game does the talking. And I can't remember who told me the story, and I'm hearing this secondhand, about, you know, how meticulous she is, like, off the court, being a tremendous student. And somebody said, I can't remember what it was about studying for a basketball test in PE.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, like, studying for a basketball.
Yeah.
Well, basket counts for 2 points. Yeah, I got that. I mean, what? Come on.
That's Danny, though. She, you know, for as good as she is on the court, she's an even better student and just an excellent person. But, yeah, we made fun of her for that all year long, because Coach Swanson is a PE coach, and they were doing a basketball unit.
How does one study for a basketball PE test for a kid that has played basketball her whole life?
Well, she did, and
she aced it, I assume. You know, the other thing I noticed this year about, like, you can tell with, you know, like, player development and kids moving forward, I think basketball IQ is a big thing, and I told Alyssa Hess when I talked to her this year, you know, when we talk about the recognition of, like, you know, the double down with the low post player on the strong side, I call it cheating. Then on the weak side is, you know, you slash to the basket or you attack the glass, where you get a cheap weak side rebound. Mm-hmm. And I thought Alyssa Hess this year recognized that so perfectly. I don't know how many of her, I'd say at least 75 of her points were off of that, but good for her, because she recognized that she was in the right place virtually all season offensively when Higgins got the ball on the strong side.
Yeah, Alyssa was so much improved this year over last year. I mean, her minutes were about the same. She was on the court, you know, as much as we could have her on the court. but she was so much more productive this year. And I think that her, yeah, her basketball IQ, her court awareness, her situational awareness, you know, really took a step forward. And that was excellent to see. And, yeah, she that weak side, you know, I think the Erie tournament for us this year was kind of a turning point for her this year because she stayed out of foul trouble that entire tournament and really went to town. And a lot of that was on the weak side, just being in the right place at the right time. But I say that, but not really, because she meant to be there.
Well, and, you know, so we get into, and that's a kid that you see deserving, made the most of her minutes, and you could see a kid that took a high step, multiple steps forward this year, I thought, in her game was impressive. You know, and I look at the junior class just following the team, you know, I thought early in their development, they were playing varsity minutes by attrition, and I'm not disrespecting any of those kids. It's just there weren't a lot of kids in the program, so they were forced to play. And, you know, I get into a lot of these discussions with coaches where you say sometimes, well, oh, you're playing these young kids, wait till they're older. Well, are they playing because they deserve to play, or are they playing because they have to play? And I think that can be like a weird situation for a coach, because then if more kids come in the program that are younger, but for whatever reason, maybe better or play more, or whatever the situation is, however you want to define it, then you're like, well, I played when I was a freshman and sophomore. How can I played more when I was a freshman and sophomore. Now I'm a junior and I'm not playing as much as I was. And that's going to be the argument all the time. Mm-hmm. And the answer will be, I mean, you have to give the answer sometimes. And the answer is, well, somebody's come along and they're is a position we need, or they fit into the rotation a little bit better, and you have to redefine your role. And because your role's not going to be the same every year.
Yeah.
Because the you know, your hand changes every year in terms of what the players are.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably one of the hardest things for high school students, one of the hardest things to learn, or one of the hardest things to accept, is your role might not be what you think it should be or what you want it to be. But at the end of the day, it takes all different kinds of roles to put together a successful team and a successful program. So being honest with yourself, accepting what that role is, taking pride in what that role is, you know, and you know, being a good teammate, being happy for others who might have the role that you want or you think you deserve. And understanding, too, that, hey, your role today might not be the same role that we're going to need you for tomorrow or next year or next month. But, yeah, I think that that's a difficult thing for kids to understand and learn and accept.
Well, and I think the other thing is, when we talk a lot about this, and John Hoshite here and I get in this discussion a lot, you know, you at times, you know, when you're coaching, and you can watch kids, and you know, there's the equation of dealing with the parents, dealing with the kids, dealing with the administration, the school board, whatever, you know. But when we get like to this playing time, for me, it's always interesting discussion, because I always hear people say, well, you know, so, you know, junior shows up to every open gym, junior does this, practices hard every practice, blah blah blah. Some of these other kids, they don't go to all the off-season stuff, blah, blah, blah. But when, you know, I'm sorry, but when the season rolls around, people, I mean, the best kids play. And they might not give 100% every practice. They might not show up to everything in the off-season. But it's just like I tell people in the classroom. Your son or your daughter may study harder than anybody. And one of their fellow students may not, but they go to school the next day, they take the test, and they ace it. And maybe your son or daughter, who puts all that time in studying, they don't ace it. I mean, that's just the way life is sometimes. And I mean, that's tough for people to accept. And more so from an athletic standpoint than an academic standpoint, because no parent will ever go in and say, well, my kid studied, you know, multiple hours for this test, and I know that other student did, but they did better. Mm-hmm. Why? My son or daughter deserves that equal grade. Well, I mean, some people pick up stuff easier than other people do, whether it be a math class or girls' high school basketball. So long story short, that's kind of what I say. I mean, in terms of You know, sometimes, I mean, kids don't have to put in as much effort to be better. And that's just, I mean, that's the way life is sometimes.
Yeah, and that's, that particular life lesson is one of the hardest for kids to learn, girls to learn. This is not unique to high school girls basketball. It can be girls, boys, any sport. But yeah, you can work as hard as you want to work, and at the end of the day, sometimes there's going to be someone better than you. You know, and as a coach, your job is to take the kids in your program, turn them into responsible, good, caring young adults, while also providing them with a high-quality athletic experience. And that is, I think, winning. Or winning has a lot to do with that. So, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, and as a coach, too, it's hard because I invest a lot of time in building relationships with the girls, not just the girls that play, the girls that don't play. It doesn't matter, top to bottom. And I think if you don't have that relationship established, then you're really kind of hindering their overall athletic experience or doing them a disservice, you know. So to develop such a great relationship with a kid and see, you know, how hard they work, and then they don't, you know, for whatever reason, they don't get the role that, you know, they want. You know, that's hard for a coach too. But at the end of the day, I've got, this year had 22 kids to worry about. And I did, you have to do what's best for the team, not just because you want one individual or another to be able to fill a certain role.
Yeah. And that's the difficult equation we deal with. I mean, that's in coaching. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. It always comes back to that.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, it always comes back to who's playing and who's not.
Always. Yep.
And, you know, the other thing I was thinking about, like, the strength and conditioning in the 2 years you've been here. And I know Brian Dennison's been involved in that. And I think that the girls' athletic programs, I think, have made a concerted effort kind of to do better in that area. And you can tell they are doing better in that area with mm-hmm. the style of athletes that we put on the floor now. And
yeah.
I think that's kind of the difference in a lot of the things we're doing across the board athletically. Mm-hmm.
I think Mercer County girls' athletics is in a really good spot right now. You know, you don't have to look too far back into the past, and I'll just reference when I was there, when I was in high school, when myself and Laura was in high school. You know, the girls' sports were terrible, and, you know, we were lucky if we could get all the parents to fill the stands, much less, you know, community members, extended family, friends, students. So, you know, just from a we fill the stands point of view, it's clear that we're going in the right direction. But also, yeah, the strength and conditioning is huge. And it's not, again, that's another thing that's not unique to girls basketball. It's important for volleyball, softball, track, you name it. And Brian Dennison and Laura Swanson both do an excellent job, particularly through the summers, where they create the lifting program for the girls, and they're there with them 4 mornings out of the week. And the girls, it's obvious too, have taken, you know, over the last 2 years, you could see the pride that they take in their strength and conditioning. You know, now they have the leaderboard for girls. For the longest time, they only had a boys' leaderboard for weightlifting. Max is up on the wall, but now they got a girls. Brian Dennison just came up with the Strong Girls stuff.
Yeah.
Yep, hashtag Strong Girls at the end of this year. And that's awesome to see. And, you know, specifically for basketball, you know, all I have to do is take a look out into the court, and I can tell which girls are invested in their strength and conditioning and which aren't. It makes a huge difference.
You know, and I look at, like, the program here with, you know, I say, well, do you have the substance? You need that. And do you have the glitz and the glamour? You need that. And I thought the one thing that I like this year, I like you call them shooting shirts?
Yeah.
So I love those. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the kids got to raise the money for that, or the program does, mm-hmm. right? And then the Air Jordan travel suits
yep.
that you have. That's the glitz and the glamour part of it. But I think programs, you know, need that. And the one thing I like about that is it's up to those programs to say, we want that stuff. Well, how do you get it? Well, you got to go do it. You got to raise
yep.
the funds. Do you want to be part of this?
Yep.
And, you know, everybody gets all, you know, people get all jealous about over the years with the football program, what they do. Well, they go do it.
Mm-hmm.
The parents get involved or whatever. They have the pasta suppers. You want to do it? Go do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the district's not doing that for them. And that's the one thing I like. I really noticed that about girls basketball
and
this year.
That was kind of intentional, you know, because obvious to me, you know, that the program is taking steps forward. And last year, the girls, they would. I remember Knoxville came to our place wearing travel suits. Monmouth Roseville had travel suits last year at Erie. And the girls noticed those things. And you know, they're like, man, look at that good team. They got cool travel suits. So it was with intention that we kind of did those things. That being said, none of it's free. Girls basketball was the recipient of Craig Kelly's memorial, and so we use that to get the shooting shirt. So that was kind of cool too, knowing that the history he has with Mercer County Athletics and specifically girls basketball, that he kind of did have a part in this year as well. And then we raised the funds for those travel suits. Kind of look good, feel good, play good is the hope.
All right, we'll take a break here with our final segment coming up with Mercer County girls basketball coach Kate Engwall on WMJ and WMJ.com.